Here's Sit and Spin from Kenner.
You can spin around, sit around, even carry it around.
Let's go inside.
You can spin some more like it foremost anywhere you put it down.
Sit and Spin, the indoor-outdoor take-along spinning toy.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Throwback Reviews Podcast. This is episode 12, and tonight's topic is Toys of Our Youth, Take One. But before we get into the episode here, why don't I go around, introduce the host, see how they're doing, what they've been up to, and we'll start with the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin. What's up, Dor?
Hey, man. Same old, another week down, but I will say I don't think I've devoted as many brain cycles to a podcast as I have this one in like a long time.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because there was so much coming to my head for this one, and trying to place them in some sort of order. Right. And then I was like, why am I doing this? There really is no order. You know, they're just standing out. So, and the reason I said take one is because this is definitely something we could, do again down the road, another episode. So,
I'll agree, even though right now I can't agree. I think us talking is going to spur more thoughts into my head, give me more ideas, because I only had a couple come up.
Really?
Yeah. I'm extremely OCD, ADHD, and my memory is really bad. Like, really bad. Horrible bad. So I'm hoping you guys saying stuff, I'll be like, oh yeah.
Well, anybody that knows your memory isn't bad. Maybe it's bad for certain things, and I know what you mean. I'm like your OCD brother here, because I tend to think that I remember things more so than I do, or I have like missed memories and stuff like that. But don't sell yourself short, dude. You definitely have a great memory. But we'll see. We'll see what you come up with.
When it comes to apps on shows, I have a great memory.
Yeah, you do.
But everything else is bad.
Yeah. And also with us, for good now, join the podcast, we've got Rob Flack O'Hara. What's going on, Rob?
What's going on? I just got back from vacation. Actually, I drove past you. We are driving vacation people, and we like to drive. We go on road trips. And so we just got back from a 3,700-mile road trip, which is ridiculous in a Honda. We've got to buy an RV or something, man. It was too small. But we drove from Oklahoma all the way to Maine. We stopped in Niagara Falls. So we went through Buffalo and had buffalo wings in Buffalo, New York. That was fun. Niagara Falls, the Canadian side. That's amazing, you know, to go up there and see that. And then we went all the way to Maine so I could get a lobster roll. So we went to Maine, had a lobster roll, turned around, came home. So.
Well, you also did a lot of other cool stuff that you talk about on your other podcast. You Don't Know Flack.
Yeah. We, let's see, a couple of things. Well, I tell you one thing that listeners of Throwback Reviews might like is in Cleveland. And on the cool thing about road trips is you never know. You know, I mean, especially now with smartphones and stuff, you can just check and see, you know, things that are around you or whatever, things you might know. So we just happened to be looking at our phones, and on the edge of Cleveland is the house that they filmed A Christmas Story in. And we had no idea. So, and actually the guy that bought the house has bought a couple of other houses near it. So one house is a museum that has a lot of the, clothes and different things that were in the movie. And then the house where they actually, it turns out they didn't film much of the movie there because of the weather and things like that. So they built sound stages that look like the house. So some of it was filmed in the house, but a lot of it was on sound stages. But the whole house is set up, everything's hands-on. Everything is kind of replica. So you can go pick up the replica BB gun in front of the Christmas tree and take a picture. You can pick up the leg lamp and get a picture next to that. You could go upstairs in the bathroom and they have the little Orphan Annie decoder set up and the bar of soap that you can stick in your kid's mouth, which we did and took a picture. So it's very, very hands-on, very friendly kind of place. So that was definitely a cool little retro stop.
Yeah, that's cool. I saw that. And it was funny because I don't know why, but like a couple days before that, I was looking at it online. Oh, I know why. I won't say any names, but there's a guy at work, young kid, and everyone calls him like Cletus or something like that. And I'm looking at this kid and I'm like, I know he looks familiar, and he looked just like the kid that stuck this. No, not Flick, but the other kid, go ahead, smart ass, and do it. Well, I forget what his name was. So I ended up looking it up, and then I got to the museum, like you said, and it does look really cool. I'd like to get out there someday.
Yeah, they even had some behind the scenes photographs, and they had a special little thing that explained that when Flick stuck his tongue to that pole, it was actually PVC pipe that they had painted to look metal, and they had put like an air compressor, like it was sucking air, you know, like air suction. Right. So that's how they got his tongue to actually stick. But it did mention that that kid had been a little high maintenance, I guess, on the set, and so they left him stuck there a little longer than they were supposed to. But yeah, it was definitely, you know, if you like 80s movies like that or Christmas Story. And the cool thing, when you go into the museum, there's a guide, and he tells you about 10 minutes, you know, a little bit like about the filming of the movie and what it was like and things like that. And then they just literally turn you loose and say, go take pictures anywhere, touch anything you want. So yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so anybody who wants to see that, go to RobOHara.com, right? And you can get the You Don't Know Flack.
Oh, yeah,
you,
sure.
Talk about the arcade that you went up to and everything. And that was a really good episode as well. So I think people that listen to this show will enjoy that episode as well. So, but yeah, we're happy to have you, man. It's awesome. So this is the new crew here. So like I said, today's episode is about toys of our childhood, and pretty much what we came up with is we'll kind of go around, we'll each talk about one, but we had the choice for each one, all of us, whether it was something that we liked, we loved, you know, a good toy. Was it something that maybe your neighbor had, or you saw it on TV and you wanted that thing, but you never had it, you were obsessed, or maybe you got it for Christmas or for your birthday and it sucked. So it was kind of like you have those three choices for your toys. But so that's how it's going to go. So why don't we'll start off. Dor, you want to go with the first one?
Sure. Yeah. I'll say first, there isn't a lot of toys that I saw other kids have that I like infatuated over. Very early in my life, I knew we weren't going to be the kids that had the most presents under our tree kind of thing. And you know, it isn't a sob story kind of thing. I just realized at a very young age, I didn't let myself do that. So most of the toys I wanted, I got. Let's just say I'd lowered expectations. The first toy I have to bring, because of the amount of time I spent one-on-one with this toy, but I also expected maybe to get a little ribbing on the toy, and it's partially because of the name of the toy. And it's a Sit and Spin.
All right, yeah.
I honestly think I made my mom a couple more layers of crazy, because she would like come into the room and I would be spinning as fast as I can, and she would make a thing of coffee and she would prepare the cup of coffee and she would go out to the living room, watch a show, come back, and I would still be spinning. If it was possible to warp brain cells from that toy, I'm pretty sure I was successful at it.
See, I never had one. The kids across the street had one, but I've never been one to, I can't spin around like that. I you know, and I know we used to try to see like how long you go before you kind of like just fell off.
Right.
I don't get long. I couldn't get very long.
Well, the two stories I have about it is, one, I remember when I was older, I was maybe like 9 or 10, and we went over like my aunt's house or something, and her kid was like 3 years younger and they had one. And I just remember just honing in right on it, hopping right on it, and trying to spin it. My legs were too long, so it was really weird, so I couldn't really get up full speed. But I remember as a kid, spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning, and then I, like, lost grip. And I remember my head, like, going backwards and slamming into the wall. And the thing is, I don't remember slamming into the wall. I remember opening my eyes, looking up. So I apparently knocked myself out.
Looking up at the ceiling.
Right. And I couldn't tell my mom that because then she would take the thing away from me. So, oh no, mom, everything's fine, mom.
Do they still sell sit and spins, or is that one of those things that now kids, I mean, it would be deemed too dangerous for kids today?
Dude, I swore they would not sell them anymore because that reason alone. But in fact, Toys R Us has the sit and it's sit space a apostrophe N space spin, $25. You can get one.
Really?
Now, I will say I'm not getting my son one because I think if I watch him do that, I think I would go a little crazy too.
I'll bet that thing isn't made the way it was when we were kids either. It's like
probably padded, right? It's got pads and something to limit the how fast you can go or something. Right.
Yeah,
like a governor.
Governor. It's probably got like a thinner, you know, plastic or something. So when you sit on it, you can't get a real good, because it's basically just like a bearing system on within exactly. It, right?
Yes. And with this one, it wouldn't shock me if the kid has any weight at all, he would spin and the friction might cause the thing to start to melt because it's built so crappy.
You know, now kids are so lazy that they probably would make one with a motor in it. So you get, you just turn the switch and it goes around real slow.
Well, they'll have one where you can like dock on the top, like your iPod or something.
Exactly.
And then the kid can just sit on there and play while he's spinning it.
Well, you open the spin app. Right.
Well, I will say, Sean, you are moderately accurate with that. If you go to Amazon.com and you search for sit and spin, one of the very top results is a sound one. And it does look like on the top it has speakers.
Wow.
Like a dock. Probably has a dock right on top.
I honestly...
It's Bluetooth.
I was afraid to look at it. It looks like every time they press a button, they hear one of six classic songs. So right on the very top, there's speakers.
You spin me right round. I bet that's I bet that's on there. Now, Dory, you said you had one of these. I had one of these. Do you remember the day that you were too big for the sit and spin?
Yeah. I remember when I went and I tried to, and my legs like wouldn't meet right, and I would try to like cross them on the other side, and I tried to tuck them in and pull them in. It was like I couldn't get them in.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you started getting friction in places where you didn't before. Yeah, I remember.
And I remember just because you would spin it fast enough and your legs were sticking straight out, A, you couldn't get the speed, and your like legs would like flop around.
Right, because when you're a kid, it's like an ice skater, and you can pull all those limbs in and spin really tight. But yeah, when you hit about, you know, 8 or 9, then it's like a bad ice skater, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and safe to say, if they even did make a adult size one right now, probably after 5 or 6 rotations, I might biff or hurl.
Well, I think it's cool that they still make them. Just looking at the link that you put in our chat, though, it definitely looks chintzier than what I can remember. It just seemed like it was a heavier plastic that would more... I don't know how to explain it, but...
Yeah, it almost looks hollow or something on the bottom on that one, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah. And it would just like that neck on it looks tiny, but maybe my memory of the original is off.
No, your memory is right, because if you do take a look at eBay, you will also see the classic ones for sale from like 1973, and you can tell this is like very blocky.
Yes, and see, and I'll try and remember to maybe even put this in the for the show. But the plastic has like that textured look to it, where you can tell it's just a heavier gauge than what it is now. You know,
thick enough to probably cause cancer. But yes,
but I thought they were red, or are they all different colors?
Mine, I know, was blue.
Yeah, mine
stickers.
Was blue. Yeah, yep, same here.
Dude, I don't know why you were thinking we'd rag on you for a sit and
spin.
Well,
just the name, sit and spin. I bet you like to sit and spin. Yeah, I just figured you would take easy pot shots at it.
Wasn't that a Fonzie catchphrase or something?
Well,
it was, sit on it, right?
Sit on it.
That's right, yeah.
Hey.
Well, that's cool. I was expecting, like, the way you're talking, like an easy bake oven or something.
Listen,
I don't know.
Listen, I said this before. If I knew you could have made bacon in an easy bake oven, yes, I would have had an easy bake oven.
Yeah, you just would have been putting strips of pork in there to, like, you know, what is it, like, dehydrate it or something.
Yep. Some bacon jerky.
So, yeah, making jerky in an easy bake oven. You could still get those. You could have a little bacon shop.
I already got threatened by the wife when I said it in front of her.
Oh, geez. That's funny. Anything else, guys, on that one? I think we kind of covered the old sit and spin. Or do you have something, Rob?
No, I think I'm good. I'm just thinking, I wonder where all those sit and spins ended up. Yeah. You know, I mean, they were like, I'm sure millions of them, but you don't really see them anymore. People don't have them, and, you know, you don't, like, see them in thrift stores, really, or anything.
Yeah, I'm sure there's maybe they're buried next to all the ET games.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
There's a Canadian company that's going to do a documentary where they're going to go to the where the suspected landfill is to try to dig up the games.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. That's funny.
Good luck. But I don't know why I would wish them luck, though.
I'll watch it. Why not? I like documentaries.
I'll watch it for the rest of the stuff, not for the actual dig. I didn't like her then Raldo opening vaults. I don't want to watch them dig up dirt.
You didn't watch that Geraldo opening up El Capone's?
Everyone did. Yeah.
Man, that was a bummer letdown, wasn't
huge,
it?
Huge, huge flop.
Well, the legend of the Atari cartridges was that they steamrolled them also. So I don't really know what they're expecting to find there. If they want, you know, intact ET cartridges, go on eBay. They're $1 each, you know. So
yeah.
I've got like 4 over here in the corner they can have. So,
yeah, that's funny. I don't really get it either, but hey, whatever. They make a documentary about everything, right?
Yep.
That's funny. So Flack, why don't you go next? What do you got?
All right. Well, I had to pick at least one good Star Wars toy, and so I narrowed it down to the Star Wars Death Star.
Oh.
And here I will send you guys a picture. I don't know. Are you going to include links like to the pictures or something?
I'm gonna try to do all that afterwards.
That'd be cool. But so the Death Star, first of all, was at the time the biggest Star Wars toy. It's still one of the biggest play sets. If you're not familiar with it, it was 4 stories tall. Well, I mean, you know, in proportion to the figures. it's kind of funny because
it wouldn't fit in your house, but
right, well, you know, yard. The original Death Star, I think I've read, was supposed to have like 100-mile diameter, so obviously the scale was a little off. There's 4 stories on the bottom. You had the trash compactor. It was like every part of this toy you could reenact some part of the movie with. Mm-hmm. You know, you had the bottom level, there's the trash compactor. Which came with these little foam bits that were supposed to be like trash, and you could put the figures in there, and then it had like a corkscrew, and you would screw it down, and then the door would pop open and push the people out. And it came with the, I think this is the first Star Wars toy, it's the first one I could remember that actually came with a figure. You know, they do that now. You buy a toy, and you know, you get a figure that you can't buy off the shelf, so it's kind of an extra incentive. But you got the trash compactor, the trash monster, the Dianoga, I think that's
And he was just a green plastic figure, right?
Totally, yeah, no articulation, just a little molded plastic thing. But, you know, if you saw that sitting on someone's shelf, you knew that they had the Death Star, you know?
Yeah.
And then there was...
Well, can I just stop you real quick? So I'm going to assume this isn't something that you hated, but was it something you actually had or you wanted to have?
I had it. I loved it. I had an aunt and uncle that didn't have any kids. And so they had kind of adopted my sister and I, and actually like became this riff at one point because they would spend way too much money on my sister and I, like for holidays and stuff. And so my parents, I think the Death Star, it came out in 78. It was with the very first, you know, there weren't any toys. The Christmas of 77. Star Wars toys. And then in 78, they had, there was a land speeder, the X-Wing, the TIE Fighter, those first 12 figures, and then the Death Star. And I actually looked up prices. You won't believe this, but from what I could find, the original price for the Death Star is about $20.
That's
which
it?
Now, if you think the original figures back then were $2.50.
Okay.
So if you think, you know, roughly, you know, 10 times a figure. So now figures, you know, are $7.99 at Walmart. So that would be like $80, you know, with inflation or whatever. But yeah, this thing, I mean, it was so massive, you know, and you had all these different parts. You had the trap door where they could fall. You had the little gangplank that retracted where Luke and Leia could swing over, you know, it had a little thing they could hold on to. And then you had the big gun at the top. You had an elevator that went up and down and the little catwalk at the top for Obi-Wan. So, and I guess not a lot of these have survived because it's kind of, it's not built like toys today. Like there's a lot of thin plastic parts. A lot of the decoration on the back is cardboard. So
yeah,
the cardboard
yeah.
got torn up, you know. I actually have a boxed one. I have pieces of my original one, but I don't have the original one anymore. But I have since bought another one. And it's one of those things, I pulled it out of the box and it's just massive to look at. There's all these places to put figures and stuff. But that was definitely a toy that I got some mileage out of, you know, because you had, you know, even kids, you know, back then, now we think of like, you know, oh, you're into Star Wars or you're not into Star Wars. But, you know, for a few years, everybody, all kids were into Star Wars, you know,
yeah.
and everybody had your action figures and all that. So. Yeah, for people to come over and play with the Death Star was super cool.
Yeah, my brother actually had one, and I went to my mom's. I go treasure hunting, and my mother's in her basement and to see what she has left. And I found it because all my old action figure Star Wars guys, we gave them to my son, the ones that survived. You and I were talking this past week about how you were the guy that when your neighbors got out the firecrackers and BB guns, you left.
Oh, absolutely.
I was the one that was sticking the head in my mom's like exercise bike, you know, to pop their heads off and stuff like that. Like looking back now, it makes me sick that I don't have them, but what did survive, we gave to my son. And so I went to find the Death Star and she had the box, you know, it was in the basement. So the cardboard was kind of beat up, you know, from dampness and the foams like disintegrates. It's not gooey, but it was definitely not spongy anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know? And there was parts that were missing. And like you said, the cardboard that I think kind of like snapped in or something mm-hmm. like that. That was gone.
Yeah.
So we didn't even bother bringing it back.
Yeah. You know, there's another thing. I'm sure if you're familiar, like with, like the X-Wing fighter, they sold X-Wing fighters, in the early days with Star Wars. Right. And then when Empire Strikes Back came out, they just put some, you know, different stickers and they changed the box. So they put the figures, you know, the picture on the box. It wasn't, you know, Luke coming back from the Death Star. Now it was, you know, Luke and Yoda, as they were coming back from Dagobah. And then they did that again with Return of the Jedi, you know, so a lot of the toys throughout the line, they just changed the packaging. The same thing with the Millennium Falcon. You could see packaging for all three movies, but the Death Star, they only sold for 2 years. They sold it 78, 79. And then, you know, by the time Empire came out, they just pulled it off the shelves. So yeah, there's not as many of them around as there are a lot of the other toys.
Yeah. It's weird. I mean, I'm looking at the picture that you had put in a link, and like I said, I'll put links to it. And and there's the little like blue rope hanging there mm-hmm. that Luke and Leia swung across. And if I remember, didn't part of the catwalk like drop or slide or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it slides back and forth, right? And then in that picture, I guess that would be on that not the Uh-oh. Ground level, but the next one up. You can see
we lost you for a second there, Rob.
Oh, you lost me? Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, you have the catwalk there, and then on the level below that, in that picture where Darth Vader and Obi-Wan are fighting, there's like a trap door that will drop people down into the trash compactor. So, yeah, there's all kinds of little, and it's similar to the Millennium Falcon. Like, a lot of people say, oh, I still have my Millennium Falcon, but when you look, they're like, yeah, but I don't have the chessboard, or I don't have the little force training ball, or I don't have, you know, the landing gears or, you know, so there was like in these early toys a lot of little pieces that tended to get lost over the years.
Yeah, definitely. What are they going for now on eBay? Do you know? Or
You know what? I got mine in a box for just under 100. So I think, obviously, it's one of those toys that...
Box as in like new in box or...
Complete in box.
Okay.
So yeah. It had been open, but everything was there.
Right.
It's definitely a toy that is, the price reflects the completeness. So there's, like I said, all these little parts. If the stickers are gone, you know, the cardboard's missing, then it's obviously worth a lot less.
Yeah. I mean, looking on eBay just for the foam, the replacement foam, $7. And I'm looking at one now, at least it's being advertised for $399 complete. Wow. Inbox, all original parts.
Wow. This podcast just changed and mine's now for sale. The new title of this podcast is Toys Flack is Selling.
Yeah, right.
$399. It's all yours.
Wow. That's crazy, man. You got to have a serious collection if you're going to spend that much on a Death Star. Yeah.
For sure.
You're definitely not buying that for your kids to play with that.
No.
That's
no.
For sure. And like I said, the one that's at my mom, it was so far gone that it wasn't even worth bringing back. I think we brought the monster back, and that's probably about it. You know, the trash compactor was cool. Like you said, it had the blue cork or the blue, like, you know, screw that you would crank.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. That's a good one, man. That was awesome. That was my brother's, but I definitely was able to play with that one when I was a kid. But it seemed, you know what? It seemed bigger. It seemed like it was massive as a kid.
It does. And you know, another thing that's funny about like toy design over the years is that, you know, on the top level is that big giant gun. I guess that's the I don't know if that's the gun that they blew up Alderaan with or whatever. But you know, you have this giant gun up there, and there's a button on the side of it. So it's spring loaded. So, you know, you could reenact if someone shoots the gun, you press this button and it pops off. But the thing is that it usually pops off and it falls right off that thing and falls, you know, so if you had it on a table, it falls 3 feet onto the table. So you do it about 5 times and that gun's broken, you know? So
yeah,
same thing with the little rope that Luke and Leia slide back and forth on, you know, it just kind of snaps on there. So about the fourth time it just pops off. So, you know, I don't know that how, I don't know if they assumed, I mean, it doesn't seem like they did a lot of play testing on some of the early Kenner toys.
Yeah. Well, you said what, 79?
78.
Wow.
Yeah. First year.
That's pretty cool, though, for that early of a toy for a movie like that.
And 20, I mean, I remember it being a big deal to have it. And now to see back, you know, that it sold for $20, it seems like a good bargain now.
Yeah, I've looked at some old Star Wars toys, just like images, not really shopping around, but where you would see the box, people have it like a picture of the box and it would have the original price tags. And, you know, I got the Dagobah system for my birthday 1 year, and I'm sure that goes for a ton now. Or even if it was like remade and brand new, it would probably go for like, I mean, the way things are priced now, I mean, that would probably go for like $30-$40. I'm sure my grandparents paid like 15 because it's not that big.
Yeah, and that's another toy, just like Dora mentioned, the foam that's in the trash compactor, the Dagobah one had the little foam that you could like fall in like a trap door or whatever, and so all that stuff, you know, is basically disintegrated over time.
Yeah, I still have that, and it's, I think that just got pulled. Dude, I was rough, man. I was rough with my toys. I hate to admit it, but I think those got ripped out. And like the floating boxes, because you'd have the little push down. It would have the, you know, you would push off the side of the Dagobah to make it seem like Luke was levitating boxes and stuff. That stuff's all gone. Right. Like, I don't even think you can tell it is the Dagobah system if anyone looked at it now.
If you guys ever, remind me, Dor, you guys ever come to Oklahoma, he can look at my stuff, he can't touch it. Sean's not allowed to touch any of the Star Wars stuff.
For good reason.
Absolutely, yeah. He's going to bring firecrackers
and
hold people's heads off.
I swear I'm better now, I swear.
I'll say the main reason I remember this toy, I remember Christmas Day, right underneath basically the Christmas tree, choking my brother. Because I didn't even have it unboxed for 5 minutes. And my brother broke one of the arms that support up one of the walls. I distinctly remember choking him under the Christmas tree.
Was that a force choke?
No. No. This was double-handed, give it all you got choke.
And, I don't blame you.
And then less than a week after that, he broke the cannon on the top. And then a week after that, he lost the monster in the trash compactor.
Oh, that's the best thing.
And then
throw that in the trash.
And then it just ended up firecracker M80 bait. He would just put it together and just watch it explode.
Yeah, my my kid has a collection of Nerf guns, and I mean he'll just toss them at the top of the stairs when they bounce down, or he throws them down when they're done. And one wrong move with this thing, you would break the entire thing, and that was it. Mm-hmm. You could actually reenact the explosion of the Death Star very easily with this toy.
Yeah, because it wasn't real sturdy from what I remember.
No, I mean, if you look at this picture, you know, you have these little tiny plastic vertical, you know, posts that hold the floors together. And then you have the whole floor where the, you know, where it retracts, where Luke and Leia swing over the little canyon there. So there's no support there. So it's actually a pretty flimsy toy.
Yeah, and I'll say, this was the first toy I recall, I'm probably completely wrong, where there was little nubs on the floor in random places for you to stand people up. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was awesome because I could stand somebody up and I knew he would stand there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I do remember the little Luke doll with the little thing in his hip and coming out to the rope. I remember literally the whole time, every second I played with that toy, the music was going on in the back of my head. Every split frigging second, the music was going around my head. And I loved the panel for Obi-Wan to go around the back and power down the shields. I just thought that was epic.
Yeah. And I mean, that's definitely a good pick, Flack.
They crammed a lot into it. A lot of scenes, a lot of movie scenes all into that.
Yeah. So I'm going to guess I got it 78. That's what I'm going to guess. Not the first year, but the second year it was out.
Yeah, I'm honestly thought it came out later than that, but I don't know. It was my brother, so I probably didn't get to play with it too much. But that's definitely a good pick, man. I'm sitting here staring at it, and all these memories are coming back in my head of all just little things. Yeah, how to get to slide the elevator up and down by the little blue tab. Little,
yep.
So. Well, anytime you're down, you can watch me and Dor play with it. Hands off for you.
Come on, guys. Come on, man. I'll be good. Wow. Well, I guess I'm not coming to Oklahoma.
All right.
But that's a good pick. Real good pick, man. I like that one.
So what do you got?
All right. Well, my first one is it's something that I really liked. And it's not one specific thing. It was kind of a set. It was the Fisher-Price Adventure People. Which they ran, I believe, from like 74 to 85, from what I found. There was just tons and tons and tons of guys. I mean, endless amounts. There was different sets. I think there was like probably like 30 or 40 different sets that came with this thing. But some of the sets that I really, really enjoyed, which kind of got me, I guess, into like in the outdoors and camping, everything. For one, the Wilderness Patrol. Very cool. I will put, like I said, I'll put links to all this stuff. But it was cool because it had a yellow airplane. And the Fisher-Price, let me just explain the Fisher-Price characters. There really was not that much articulation in these things either. Your head moved, your arms went up and down, and your legs moved. There was no like hip swiveling or, you know, kung fu grip or anything like that. The hands were, and arms were usually molded a certain way to work with whatever vehicle they came with, whether it be a motorcycle or something like that. So, the one set that I really, really loved, and again, it was my brother's set, but I got my hands on it all the time, was the Wilderness Patrol. And it came with a yellow airplane. And then it came with an attachment to make it like a water airplane. So you could land on the water.
I do remember this now.
Classic. It came with one of those, I don't know what it's called, but like the six wheelers, but you didn't have a steering wheel. You had like, you know, little levers to make what would be like a track type thing.
Yeah,
like
you would. Almost like a tank.
Right. But instead of tracks, you have, you know, your six wheels, but it would be controlled, that type of vehicle.
So when you picked this toy, did you know that I have a giant Fisher-Price Adventure collection?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
And I can't play with that either, huh?
Nope.
Oh my
God. You know what? They're all hiding behind the Death Star. It's hands off to you.
Nice. That was awesome. I mean, it came with a sleeping bag, little sleeping bags you could roll up. It came out like a Lassie dog. Mm-hmm. You know, you came with three characters. So that was a great set. And I do remember my dog as a kid got a hold of the boat, the watercraft part, and chewed off one of the parts of the boat. Didn't stop me from playing it.
Well,
the one thing about these is that they are the exact same scale as Star Wars figures. So, you know, as I would put them together and kind of have these adventures, like I had, I still do. I have the green van. Do you remember that? That came with the kayak and that stuff, you know?
Yes.
And so I remember, like, I would put... like when, you know, Han and Chewie had a rough day of outrunning the Empire, they would take a little break down at the beach, you know, they would get in the van and they would go out cruising, you know, and you would have all these guys with helmets, little Fisher-Price guy take off in the Millennium Falcon. So in my world, they all kind of interchanged.
Yeah, and they were so realistic, and I did the same exact thing with my G.I. Joes. The other set that I wanted to talk about, wrote a couple sets here. The Northwoods Trailblazer set. And this was great. It had a tent, you know, a blue tent, a canoe with a little motor that would snap on the back, and in a little like yellow and orange Jeep. And it had like an elastic band so you could slide your canoe and your tent would fold down. The tent would actually open. Stick little poles in it. It would open up. You could set it all up and then wrap it back up. And what I did with my G.I. Joes is, I don't remember the name of the Crimson Brothers or something like that. The twin brothers.
Oh, Tomax and Zaymot.
Yeah. And they had
them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had like a four wheeler that had rubber wheels that you could pull off. And I ended up taking those wheels off and they slid perfectly onto this Jeep's wheels.
Nice.
So it made it more, it made like a real beefy kind of look to it. It was great. But I mean, these things were awesome, man. And if I don't know, I should have looked up, but I think when they ended the line, it was in 85 or 84, but I think the replacement line a few years, well, probably maybe 10 years later. So was it Rescue Heroes or something like that?
Yeah,
the next
they were
line?
Kind of the bigger, they're like more kid friendly, you know, they weren't that same. I think if that's the ones you're talking about, right? They were like bigger kind of figures
yes.
that they replaced them with. Yeah. The first set that I remember having was the space shuttle. I don't know if you remember that one, but it looks like a space shuttle and it had a couple of astronaut guys.
I had the astronaut guys, but I don't remember having the shuttle.
Yeah. And then there was a smaller, like an escape pod that goes inside the space shuttle, you know? And, so I got that first and then it's funny that I don't remember actively collecting these, but I think this must have been like, these were the gifts you got when from a family member that was afraid they were going to buy you something you already had. You know, like they were like, well, I don't know what Star Wars stuff he has. So instead they would get you, you know, the motorcycle thing or something,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, and it's funny because I was going through the list of all the actual guys and then the list of the sets. And I was like, wow, we actually had quite a few of these things. I loved them, man. I absolutely loved them. I just put in our chat, the Safari set, which I love this one, man. It came with like a little Safari, like Jeep truck with a trailer that had a tent that would pop up inside of the actual trailer. It fit,
nice.
Clipped in and it would erect. And inside it had little, metal poles that would snap into place. And, so you could have the tent in the back of the trailer. And it also came with two cages. And then you get like, you got a gorilla, a giraffe, zebra, tiger, and a lion. And I think you got a little monkey, but you also got a big net. And the thing that I really liked about this little Safari Jeep was when it would move, it kind of had something there to make a clicking sound. Like it kind of clicked as it drove. And Flack is showing us in his hands now the six-wheeler that we were talking about.
Yeah, so there's only fish. And you know what? It's funny you mentioned the Safari one. The Safari one is really expensive. I got most of these within the last 2 to 3 years on eBay, to be honest with you. And the Safari one is super expensive because there's so many little parts to it. And there was like, remember, you have the fence pieces, you have the stuff mm-hmm. from the tent, you have the animals, you have, you know, this is like, in the back of this thing, there's like all these little random sleeping bags and you know, all these random little parts and stuff. So, yeah, that one is really expensive. But most of the sets, you know, only had 3 or 4 pieces, you know, so everything's still there.
Yeah. And we actually have this at my mother's house. It's some of it are in shambles. And yeah, you're holding up the green van with the kayak on top. I mean, this was just a great line of toys, man. I don't think there was any that weren't good.
Oh, well, quick question. What year did you say that these started?
78, I believe.
Really?
Let me double check here. Yeah, 74. 74 to 85 is what I found.
See, the only reason I know these toys, the airplane sticks out in my head. It was at my family's doctor's office waiting area for us to play yeah. with. And these figures, I distinctly remember a lot, but I never remember owning any of these myself.
Yeah, they had multiple motorcycle guys, and I don't know. I think I put the actual figure list in our chat, and I'll put a link in the show notes for the figures, individual figures, and you can see how just like Star Wars, where you had like Han, and then you had Han with the big head.
Right.
And,
there's a you know, lot the of figures.
Yeah, you had, yeah. So you had different.
But the problem with these, I mean, with nothing, there's no film or book or anything to associate them with, so they quickly become yellow guy with red helmet. Or, you know, blue fireman or whatever, like kind of generic, you know.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I think there might be some truth in this right here. Because they didn't have to pay a company, a studio, whatever, name rights, these to me look like better built, constructed toys. They look like they would last more.
I think there's definitely some, I would say on some of them, more detail than... I don't know if there's more detail, but just, I don't know, on some of it. And they do, I mean, all the ones that I haven't picked up any of them online that came with broken parts. So it does seem like they were built, you know, pretty sturdy.
Gotcha. Yeah. And honestly, as far as these go, the only ones that really got messed up were my dog. One of the cages for the Safari Psych, I remember she had chewed that. But I did as I got a little older, and I think I was getting into like Beat Street or something, and they were tagging. I think we did some tagging on these things, graffiti or whatever. Like, you know, we used to make like gangs and stuff with our G.I. Joes. But these, but as far as like, because we still have some, I actually have, oh, it's not down here. I have one of the motorcycle guys you were just showing, just the guy. And the only thing I ever noticed was that the heads might get a little loose from wear of bobbly or maybe the arms and stuff like that. Like if you put it up, they would just, you know, fall down real quick or something. But
yeah. And there's a lot of, you know, the early ones, some of the ones you were mentioning were outdoor themed, you know, there was the camping, there was the van, there was what, but there were a lot of different, there were, well, and you mentioned the airplanes and the helicopters. There was an entire line of space ones. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, there's a space shuttle, there's several different spaceships. Trying to think what else. There's a news van.
Yes.
Is one of the sets that I have.
I did not have that. My neighbor had that across the street. And I actually thought, should I bring that as one of those toys I wanted to have that I didn't have? Because that was a set he had and would never let us, like when we would gather, you know, get together with him. He, I'm the newsreel.
Yeah. Oh, and there are a lot of race cars. I have a funny car. That actually there's a couple that you put together almost like models, but there's only like 10 pieces or something, you know, but like you just plop the engine in, put the wheels on or whatever. But, race cars, like little Indy race cars, all different kinds. Yeah. They're very,
we had two red Indy cars we had.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're looking for these like on eBay or whatever, it's really inexpensive. I mean, and the only ones that get expensive, the TV set, because there were a lot of little pieces. You had the cameras, you had, you know, little things. Some of the camping ones that had a lot of little pieces. But, I mean, I think those race cars I got for, like, you know, $5 plus shipping or something, just pretty inexpensive.
With a driver or two?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I can't remember. Did the race cars do the same as the safari truck where it clicked as you would drive, like the wheels kind of clicked? It seems like they did, but maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember. I could go find out. You're going to lose me on the podcast. Yeah. I'm just going to go play with toys.
Because I don't know if we have those at my mother. She's got just random stuff in different places that that my nephews and nieces have all played with over the years. But now my kids are the only young kids. So I'm slowly trying to bring that stuff over here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I will tell you that when I first ran into these probably 3 or 4 years ago, I saw the green van somewhere and I was like, I had that, you know? And so I went through that thing like we do now with the internet where you start searching and trying to find out what a toy is or, you know, where something came from. And I was convinced that I didn't have any of these. And as I went through the pictures, more and more of them looked familiar. Oh, I did have that. I had that, you know? So I guess there were a lot of them that I didn't piece together as being, you know, all from one toy line or whatever, yeah. Like, and they did work good with Star Wars stuff, like I said.
Yeah, you're right. Star Wars and G.I. Joe, they all fit perfectly. Mm-hmm. So, great line of toys. I really debated bringing that because I thought it would be cool to maybe do an action figure episode or something. But even if we do, I mean, there's so many cool ones of these that, you know, they could be brought up again at some other point, but I really love these toys. They're awesome.
Yeah, that's a great pick. These, and I think they're kind of overlooked today. You know what I mean? Like, there's a few people that, you know, collect them or still know about them or whatever. But for the most part, they don't seem to be that highly collectible.
Well, I think it's because, I think you said, because there was no movie tied to it, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know, people don't remember it as much, I guess. But they're lost, man. Maybe, you know, if I hit the lottery, I'll start. If I ever hit the lottery, man, I hit a man room, it would just be craziness. Absolute craziness. That's why I can't go on eBay. But anyways, we'll move on. Dor, what else you got, buddy?
Well, the next one I got to bring, it's, because like Rob kind of mentioned how he takes road trips. When I was young, we drove from Maryland to Maine, from Maryland to Wyoming, from Maryland to Florida. Maryland and from Baltimore area to Ocean City a lot. So we spent a good amount of time in the car. And back then there was only a limited set of stuff you could bring in the car to actually play with. I mean, like they had like the crappy Travel Connect 4 and stuff, but come on. And my sister would just beat me at it in like 5 seconds. So that wasn't worth bringing. But I distinctly remember playing this so hard, the buttons, like I wore off all the color and everything off the buttons, and that was the old school Mattel LED football with the red dots. Now, the one I put a link into is actually the second version, I want to say. I had the first one where there was no pass button. There was just up, down, the one that would go left or right, and then kick. I think it was like one other button. There wasn't a lot of buttons. There wasn't a lot of anything, okay? It was just blinking lights, and you were the brighter light. And you just had to get... Now, it wasn't really from one side of the field to the other because the field would lap, and you would have to go from left to right, back, then you would start to left, and then to the right, and then back, and then you have to loop. You had to do it sometimes 3-4 times, depending on where you were at. And it was time-based. And when you punted or kicked the ball or turned it over, depending on where you were at on the field, the computer would either automatically score or punt. And it was a very hard game to master, I'll say, back in the day. Really easy to play, but hard to master. And I remember playing, going through batteries like, you know, Swiss cheese with this thing.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely pre-rechargeable anything.
Yeah, and definitely pre-Game Boy. There was no such thing as a Game Boy. Now, there were little crappy landscape LED-based games that were really like solo unigames that had very little functionality to them, to where quite literally within 30 seconds you understood and you knew exactly how to beat it kind of thing, where this actually seemed like it had a little bit more, dare I say, AI than those. Mm-hmm. So I had lots of, I mean, I abused the crap out of mine.
There was definitely parts of it that seemed up to chance. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so, I mean, sometimes, you know, there wouldn't be a hole in the defense and then you just got sacked. You know, I mean, there was no opening. But then when there was, we started hitting those buttons real fast and run for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a lot of timing. Dare I say, like taunting. You could like taunt the defense to come in a certain way and then hurry up and go around. It was actually planning, strategizing, patience, and then how fast you could hit the buttons.
Huh. I never had one of these.
Well, really? They had a couple of them. I will say they had a baseball one. They had a big baseball one, which I do remember, where there was literally buttons on each side where two people could play it. Me and my brother, one on each side of the machine. That was definitely a little bit more difficult because both of you are trying to move it as you're hitting the buttons. Because it's that old stereotype. When you have a controller in your hand, you move the controller as you're playing. And back then, I think it was worse. But with this little football game, it was just, I remember me sitting in my car, you know, scrunched up with it, like right in my face, just playing it. And I do remember it, I want to say like third or fourth grade, my teacher took it away from me. I waited till recess, snuck back in the room, and I stole it back out of her desk.
Oh, jeez. That's funny.
I wasn't playing any of that.
We never had one. I did remember seeing them. And of course, Rob left and he's got one in his hand now.
Well, I know. I should have moved to the toy room to do this because I have a collection of these. And Door is, I mean, he's right on. It's one of those things that I think this phrase gets used too often, but it was easy to play but hard to master. You know, I mean, anybody could pick it up and run a few plays or whatever and then get tired of it. But, you know, once you've... I don't know. It's like we were, like Dor said, when you took one of these on a road trip and your options were to play this or to look out the window for 8 hours.
Yeah, or play I Spy.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, there wasn't really much to do. I'll say, you know, there was only so much Conway Twitty I could stand listening to from my dad's stereo when I was younger. So my options were really limited. And I will say, like he said, hard to master. There you go. What kids today don't understand, and here's a perfect example. Super Mario Brothers for the Nintendo Wii. Hold your hands through the game at every step. If you die on the same stage like 7 times, it basically leads you through the level without you doing anything. Mm-hmm. Back then, you either became good at it or you sucked. There was no hand-holding in those old games. And we don't hear you, Sean. I thought I really killed the podcast there.
No, sorry about that. The only ones that we had, like I said, I remember a neighbor having that. But I didn't really play it ever. We had a Space Invaders. Had like little yellow left, right, and shoot. Right. Love that game. Mm-hmm. Still have it, but it won't work with batteries. I need to take it apart and see if I can maybe clean it up or something. And then I had the and we talked about it one time after Android App Addicts once. It was like an Indy car racer where it had a tape that would scroll and you would hear it and you would go hot.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, and you like your car moved like it was a little like a real car, right?
On a stick.
Like a clear plastic stick. Yes. Yeah. And it would have like high, low, reverse, and you had a steering wheel that you turned to make it go left and right.
Well, here's the thing. Took my kids to a Chuck E. Cheese. They literally had something like that in a full size game where the kids would like bend over and they would look and they would have that big steering wheel and on the end of a stick was a car going back and forth. I thought that was hysterical.
That's funny.
Now, I'm sending you guys a link now, and I know that you're both Android guys, so it may be a little sacrilege, because I sent you the iOS link, but I know that they do have it for Android as well. Oh, they do have this LED football game available for smartphones and tablets. So, I mean, if you want to go really old school on a modern thing,
here's the best thing about that game. Are you ready? The more you play it, the more you physically wear the buttons out. And you can and you like see the buttons getting more worn as you play it.
You're kidding.
Yeah, you can quote unquote flip it over and you can read on the back and there's a reset button so you can reset the wear level on the buttons. I gotta say, it's very accurate to how that game was. Very, very accurate. But I will say, not being able to play the game by feel, it took some time to get used to, because when you have those physical buttons, you don't even have to look at them at all. You just know where they're at. So, I devoted a couple hours to playing that on Android in the past, and I had to put it down for at least a little bit.
Yeah, I don't remember what it cost. It was really cheap, I think, maybe $1.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think me and Sean got it on a Amazon free app of the day.
Oh, great. Yeah, even better.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one, man.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, Dora. If you gave this to your kids to play, how long do you think they would play?
My youngest one, about 3 seconds. My oldest one is so OCD, quite literally, Rob. He was anywhere from 2 years old to now, I could literally put a toy in the middle of the room, leave, nobody else in the house, go to the bar for 4 hours, come back. He'll be in the exact same spot playing with that same toy. So him, I could picture him sitting there until he understands it and playing it at least a while. But I will say, with him getting spoiled now with the Nintendo 3DS and the Wii and the Minecraft and the not as much as I think he would. But yeah, he would definitely play it. He would try to figure it out. He is a literal kid. He wants to understand why. And and here's a quick example I'll give to that, Rob. We lied to him for 4 months. We said, look, Dad's going to a computer convention in May. You're coming. You're going to stay at the hotel while I'm at the computer convention, and you can swim in the pool while I'm there. Then 3 days before we left, we gave him his birthday present, and it was tickets to Disney World. And all he said was, but you lied to me. Why did you lie to me? Instead of being happy that he was going, he just couldn't understand. You lied to me. So he is a literal kid.
Well, you should have gave him the football game. He would have gone over it. He could play this.
Yeah. And I got you this for the plane ride, buddy.
Well, and I gave him my Nexus 7 and Go and the app Go Comics and Minecraft, so he was more than satisfied.
He was happy. My kids are 7 and 11, and I think they're more like your youngest. I don't think either one of them would play this for 10 seconds. I mean, it's amazing. Like, it seems like we played this for hours and hours, you know? And I don't know. I think sometimes they miss out, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
There's too much now. There's too much now.
Yeah.
Right. The first thing my kid would say, if I gave him this, he would say, well, you know, how do I connect on the internet to play other people? that would be his first question, right? Does this support, Bluetooth or what, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right, let's move on to Rob. What else you got, man?
Well, for my second choice here, I had all kinds of stuff. My dad was a electronics guy, and, you know, we always had all kinds of, you know, gadgets and electronic toys and stuff, but there was one toy that they got for me that I really loved that didn't require batteries at all. I'm sending you guys a picture of it right now. It got my little hiney kicked more than once on the bus, and that was my Charlie McCarthy ventriloquist. Now, the Charlie McCarthy ventriloquist doll, I think I got it for Christmas, like, 1980, 1981, and if you think about it, it's kind of an odd toy for kids to want. I mean, Charlie McCarthy was the name of the ventriloquist doll. The guy that did it was Edgar Bergen, and he was really popular like in the 30s, 40s, 50s, you know. But So there were a couple of things in the late 70s. One is that Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy appear in the Muppet movie. Oh. They're in a scene where they're sitting at the park, you know, when they go to the park, or the, it was like the county fair or something, and they're all getting ice cream or whatever. But so Charlie McCarthy was in that scene. So I think maybe that's where I got exposed to it. And then also in the late 70s, you had the television show Soap.
Oh yeah.
And there was, what was his name? Chuck. Yes. And Bob, right? And he had his ventriloquist doll. So I think that's maybe why I got into it or whatever. So my parents bought me the Charlie McCarthy. And if you look in the Sears wish book, there are like two or three different dolls they offered for a while. There was a Bozo the Clown one. There was another one called Willie Talk. And then there's the Charlie McCarthy. You know, the expensive ones, which I've never owned, had like a hole in the back and you stuck your hand in the back and there's like a rod so you could turn their head and maybe operate their eyes and there's a trigger for their mouth or whatever. But the cheap ones like this just had a string, you know, that you would pull on the back. And of course it never worked very good. So the whole time you just pulled the string, it like pulled their head back, you know, and it didn't work very good. It also came with, it said when you bought it, it comes with the secret to ventriloquism. And so I mean just to have that by itself, you know, because I was into like magic and things like that, you know, so to have the secret of ventriloquism, and that's worth the cost of admission right there. And by the way, the secret of ventriloquism, it says don't move your mouth. Which it turns out I already knew. I didn't need it to tell me that.
That's great advice.
Yeah. Right, you know, because I thought, oh, I've been doing it wrong. I've been moving my mouth. So I had this thing, and I don't remember doing too much with it, you know. I mean, just around the house kind of stuff. But I do remember in like third grade or maybe fourth grade, we had to do this school project where we made a fake product and we had to do a commercial. Mm. And so I made monster marshmallows and I had like taken marshmallows and drawn faces on them with a Sharpie and stuff, you know, like the big fat marshmallows, you know, and then we had to do a commercial. And so for my commercial, I brought Charlie McCarthy. And so that was like our one shining moment, you know, and that day I got off the bus and kid hit me in the head with a rock.
I was just gonna ask you how your walk home from school was that day.
Right, it wasn't good. And in fact, I ran. This is true and sad. I ran home and I lost Charlie McCarthy's shoe. So the whole rest of the time I had him, he just had one shoe, and he just had a.
You couldn't fit like a Cabbage Patch doll shoe on it or something.
No, it was like a. Well, it wouldn't go. It was like a dress shoe. It was nice to go. He was wearing a tuxedo, for God's sake. Nice. He can't just put any shoe on
him. Can't put a plastic shoe on him.
No, but, you know, if you look at the picture, you know, he had like a top hat and then like a monocle. And one by one, all these things disappeared, you know. So eventually he's just like a little plastic-headed guy. I don't know what happened to him. You know, I have so many toys in my collection that I had from when I was a kid. You know, like I still have them, but my dad probably snuck in and threw this thing away. He was probably tired of me getting beat up over it.
Well, when they were shopping for Christmas, you know, your parents were probably like, oh, there's this one with the swivel head. And your dad's probably like, yeah, but this one has the secret to ventriloquism.
Right, because how are you going to operate the other ones if you don't know the secret?
And it's $25 cheaper. Right, it comes exactly, with the secret. Yeah. That's funny. You know, when I was a kid, I'd say maybe once a year in the summertime, we would go to my great aunt's house with my grandmother, and just to visit, and because it was like an hour away. And they had like a furnished basement. They had a full kitchen, full living room. I mean, it was just this huge house. And they had like a little room where it was like all storage in the basement where it wasn't finished. It was just all old toys. And there, I don't know if it was this specific one, but there was one of these things sitting up on a shelf, and it was the creepiest thing. Mm-hmm. Because my granny would be like, oh yeah, go ahead and find some toys. And like to get to the light switch, you had to pass this thing on the left. Yep. And like, Mom, can you turn the light on? Well, you can reach the trigger. Can you put, please? And, you know, pulling on her. Because I'm like, you know, like 6, 7 years old.
But, right. I think the turning point for a lot of people is that scene in Poltergeist, you know, where the clown doll is in the kid's room and it, like, it's under the bed or whatever, and then it jumps out. I mean, not that, you know, a little guy in a top hat is all that menacing, you know, but, I mean, you could just, you know, the face and, you know, just having something stare at you all night long. I could see how it could be creepy.
Yeah. I remember one of my buddies had, I'm not going to say one of these, but something like one of these on the other side of his room in his bedroom. I only went into his bedroom once because we literally walked in, turned, and this thing was like, you know, 5 inches from my face. And I just remember, dude, that's creepy.
Yeah, I looked at him. It's not yours.
Yeah, as we're looking at him, looking at that, what is that? He said, oh, that's just a, you know, a dummy. That's creepy, man. Because, you know, his eyes are wide open the whole time, just sitting there staring.
Yeah, I think there was actually a Goosebumps episode. My son watched Goosebumps. I think there was an episode with something with one of these, and there was a female version, and it was kind of creepy. Those shows they're not scary, but they're creepy for younger kids. They like them though. Yep. Those Goosebumps are pretty good.
Yeah, I'll say as a kid, I remember them vaguely. I think maybe because on the Gong Show, once in a while, a guy came on with one. But I'll say from today, Jeff Dunham might be one of the funniest guys I've seen in recent years who pulls off the art of using a dummy like unbelievably well.
Yeah, there's actually a couple of, not now I'm going to come off as the ventriloquist guy. I'm not really into ventriloquism, but
you do have the secret.
I do. Right. I know it's for sale. If I could get $400, I already gave it away. I should have.
If you could sell,
hung on to it.
If you could sell your Death Star for $300, he'll throw in the secret.
There is a, I'm going to look up the name of this real quick. There is a documentary on Netflix. I don't have to look it up. There's a documentary on Netflix, on the Netflix streaming about ventriloquism. Mm. And it's really interesting. And it does end with Jeff Dunham and basically how he basically saved the art. You know, I mean, he was the only guy doing it for a long time, and he kind of brought it back.
Right. But kind of like Carrot Top with props, only this guy has talent.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'll have to watch that because I'm like mildly infatuated at a distance with it. When it's up close is when it's creepy, you know?
That does sound like a good documentary, though. Mm-hmm. I'll check that out. I like stuff like that.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find the name of it. We can put it in the show notes or something.
Cool.
You probably don't get too many hits if you do a Netflix search.
Right. We want to narrow down all the ventriloquism documentaries.
Yeah. Very cool, man. That was a good one. That definitely was unexpected. My next one, again, it's not one specific, although I did bring a couple. It's Matchbox cars.
Oh, yeah.
And it's for as much as I loved them as a kid, you would think I maybe would have turned out to be some kind of motorhead or like just into car. And I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm not into cars. I've kept all of them. Some are, you know, got hit with hammers, and I would get little Dixie cups of, you know, gas from the shed and maybe start them on fire with a Ohio blue tip. Strike anywhere match. But the other ones that survived, we kept them. My wife's tried to get rid of them numerous times. My oldest son, he's 11 now, really wanted nothing to do with them. He had one that he would play with at my grandmother's. Whenever we go to visit, she would leave it on the windowsill for him. That was the only one he'd get into. My youngest boy, he's starting to play with them a little bit. But the reason I really, really loved them, when I was growing up as a kid, before my parents got divorced, our original house had two driveways, one on each side of the house, and we had a, you know, an asphalt blacktop driveway, but the other driveway was like this really fine, like crushed gravel with some little chunkier stones in it. And my childhood best friend, Philip, we would spend all day in the summer for like 2 weeks, just every day coming down playing Matchbox cars. And this driveway was pretty long. We would each get like a stick and we would just like make roads and section off like, that's my property, that's your property. And we would, you know, we'd go through and open up the, you remember the blue Matchbox, you know, suitcase type things? Yep. They had the individual dividers. You know, I had like three of those. He had a couple. I think he had like eventually got like the case with the wheel or something, or maybe I'm thinking and something. He had some he would bring, and we would pick out, you know, we each had our own cars that were not up for grabs, you know, like our specific, you right. know, so we all, you know, we each had like our little house areas with like 50 cars, whatever, you know, and but we'd make roads and we would just play Matchbox cars for just hours on end. And my father would come home from work and, you know, he'd be like, dad, no, you can't pull in. And he would pull in anyways. That was the end, you know, that was the end of it. But he would always be real respectful of it. Like he would pull in real slow. And then when he would leave in the morning or that night for his other job, he would, you know, back out real slow, but he wouldn't leave his car on the street. But I don't know, man. I just love these Matchbox cars. I'm sure I put the link for the list from 70s and 80s cars. You guys will probably see a whole bunch on there that you liked. I'm going to put one in here that probably wouldn't strike you as being one of my favorites, but it actually was one that I always picked. It was the cattle truck.
Nice.
It was a yellow truck with an orange like kind of fencing around it, where, and you got two cows that would come with it. I remember having those cows for a long time, and of course I would set them up because in my little spot playing on the driveway. So that was one of my favorites that I had. Another one that my buddy Philip would bring over that we fought over all the time, and it was his, so most of the time he would win, but sometimes I'd win, was the police car. It was a Grand Fury police car. And I'm looking through this list last night to get a couple that I remember specifically. This car was awesome. Because we have a police station or whatever. And, you know, I think I was a farmer / policeman of the town. You know, you're multiple things because you have all these different cars. But,
yeah, well, super quick. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. To the layman, Matchbox Hot Wheels. The biggest difference, I think, between the two, Hot Wheels was always race cars, but they had sets, tracks, where Matchbox was much more like vehicles. It was like all vehicles. Do you think that's accurate or not? Because I don't remember Matchbox tracks.
I don't either. I know you're talking about, maybe Rob could go in his little cubby there and he's probably gonna pull out a couple boxes here. But I was kind of the same way. I'm like, I know there's Hot Wheels. I was under the assumption that Hot Wheels came a little later on, maybe when we were getting a little older, but I don't know. I'm not an expert on it. And I probably had mixtures, but I know what you mean about those tracks, like the blue and red tracks that would kind of like slip in. I hated those things.
Well, I had mixed feelings, I won't lie. But I will say, dude, you unbelievably sparked a memory here. The number two vehicle on this list that you put in there is the light green hovercraft. Dude, I yes! had that hovercraft.
So did we. It was my brother's.
And I remember as a kid thinking, it's not a car. I kept telling, it is not a car. It's a hovercraft, you know.
Yeah, I got to see if I can dig that out, because you're right. I saw that as well, and I was like, "Wow, man, we had that." And
I can't tell by this picture. Does the hovercraft, does it have wheels on the bottom of it?
Yeah,
does it?
I think three wheels.
Yep, two in the back, one in the front. Yeah. You're right. It did. It was kind of tannish on the bottom, I believe.
Yes, it was.
And it had a in red nail polish, SAJ, right? Yours didn't have that?
No.
Oh, that was my brother's. That was his initials. My mother used red nail polish. I mean, if I go look at the cars, like, it'll be either SMJ or SAJ on all the cars.
Yeah, I remember, man, I really liked that hovercraft. Just because it was so different. Everybody else had cars. Well, you have trucks. I have a hovercraft. Beat that. I can go on water.
Yeah. And my last one was the blue 4x4 pickup. It's all mudded up. You know, the paint on it is made to look like it was out mudding and everything.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
So that was definitely a fun one to drive around in the stone driveway. Mm. I mean, and like I said, I didn't turn, I wasn't really into cars themselves. Did a couple models or whatever, never finished them. But I don't know. I think my fondness for them is just hanging out with my best friend as a kid, Philip. You know, is the street I grew up on, it had a lot of kids on the block, and he lived like on the next block, but was close enough. And he was the only one that could like get into like these little worlds, you know what I mean? Of like setting up this big driveway of streets and sections where everybody else, you know, they just, yeah, whatever. Burm, okay, done. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I still have a whole bunch. Won't let my wife get rid of them.
Good man.
I didn't have that many Matchbox cars. I know I had some Hot Wheels. I think for me, and maybe this is just because the ones I had, but it seems like the Hot Wheels were more like imaginary type vehicles. Like I remember the Red Baron, you know, that had the big like World War II helmet on the top, and like a six-wheeled Lamborghini or something like that, you know. And yeah, we would set up the tracks, you know, because you would use everything in your room to make like little hills and stuff, you know. So you would like you know, put a the end of the track at the top of a bar stool and a book on top of it to hold it up there, and then you know it would go down, and then you know a little pile of laundry, you would go over that, right, and you know maybe around a corner and stuff, you know. But I don't think that I had. I don't think I didn't have a lot of them. I don't.
Right. Well, the two quickies, I got to say, Sean will remember, no doubt in my mind, Micro Machines on, I believe, the NES. It might have been Super Nintendo car racing game where you were riding across a ruler over a book that was a ramp.
Right. Yeah.
Playing that game, I remember connecting with it as being a kid with doing that in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was.
Yeah. I think there's a level where you're on a picnic table or something like a. I remember that.
Great game. Again, easy to play, incredibly hard to master. But I was watching Pawn Stars, one of those pawn shows, and the guy was bringing in a whole Matchbox stuff. And Matchbox was always real stuff. Then Hot Wheels came out, and Matchbox started to make some pretend stuff, but it still seemed like their core was they wanted to make real vehicles, like the cattle truck. You ain't going to see no cattle truck Hot Wheels. You know what I mean? You're going to see a crazy, funny car with pipes, you know, 3 feet sticking out of it kind of thing.
Right. The cattle truck would actually have a cowl, like for the hood or something, right?
Yeah. But I think you're right. I think most of us, because like the tracks and everything, I think we probably had a set or something where we'd have them, and you would do like, you would set up maybe a jump, and we had these like, weird, like throw rugs. They're like an oval, and they were like kind of knit.
And it was like a track.
Yes, and we would put books under them and make them like an actual racetrack and everything. And you'd have like colors, then colors, then colors.
We had the same thing in the hallway where it was literally like it seemed like it like half inch cord, almost rope woven into like a big loop, and it kept being like smaller and smaller. And it did go through different colors. And I do remember putting stuff underneath it, so it was like when you went around the track, there's a bump here, there's a jump here. Oh yeah, man, that was good times.
Yeah.
Now, Sean, you said you know, like some of your Star Wars stuff you'd turned over to the kids and let them play with that. Would you let them play with the Matchbox cars, or are those kind of hands off?
Oh no, a lot of them, there's still some of my mom's, but a lot of them are here in a bin. And like I said, my wife's been like, Ethan doesn't play with them. I'm like, just no, you're not getting rid of them, you know. And my youngest, Gabriel, is he plays with them a little bit. So I'm like, see, that's why we didn't get rid of them.
Good man.
But so yeah, Matchbox cars, man. Dora, we're back. You got anything else?
Well, there was one more that I'm going to bring up, and I will say this is one I might actually be embarrassed of, and Sean, you're going to understand very quickly, but there is follow-up to it, okay? It's a Nash Executioner skateboard. This was my first forte into skateboarding, It was by far probably the crappiest built thing I ever had in my youth. It was literally completely flat with a little, I believe, bend on the tail made out of literal particle wood, where when it got wet, it literally would like flake and disintegrate into nothing. But I had this and the ball bearings, I remember, man, this thing couldn't roll for nothing. I literally have, my legs are still mostly muscle because of the amount of skateboarding I did 20 plus years ago kind of thing. And I really, you know, I grew up into what skateboarding was on this piece of crap skateboard that the first chance I had, I got a paper route. I started to make money. I delivered flyers for a pizza joint just so I could buy a real skateboard after that. And that's where I thought, my Lord, this thing just, it's like butter. I push once and I actually coast on it.
Oh, hey. Wasn't there a big difference once you went from that Walmart? I had my first one was a Veriflex.
Oh, yes. That. Yeah.
Right. And it had those wheels, like, you know, you would hold it and then you would spin it and it would just go like one quarter turn, like, you know, and then, once you had one that actually had real bearings. And I was a huge skateboard kid. I remember the Nash. What color was your Nash?
Mine, I want to say, was green, like lime green. Yep.
Mine was orange. I had it too.
My buddy had one that was orange. And the one thing I remember after it, you know, it took me a little bit to realize this, was it literally had a kitty bar on it on the back truck, so if you went up a curb it would like help you up a curb, like, here, you're too incompetent, here, let me help you up the curb real quick.
Yeah, so you wouldn't hit like the kingpin on it or whatever,
right,
and get hung up.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was just so poorly built. I mean, everything about it was just crap.
But it was the stepping stone.
It was.
Because I actually started, you know, getting back into skating a few years ago, and prices really didn't seem to me get much worse than what they were when I was skating, when I was younger. Mm-hmm. But these were definitely like, look, okay, you want a skateboard. Yeah, every kid wants a skateboard. Okay. Oh, you saw Animal Chin now? Okay, now you're a skater? No, we're gonna get you this Nash to begin with, you know? And if you could, you know, ride that thing for a while, because I know that's what I did. I rode it for a little while. And then finally, I remember coming home one day and my parents were like, go upstairs. And I went upstairs and it was my first. It was a Powell Pirel to Mike McGill.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
So I made it through like the initiation.
Exactly.
Of getting made fun of. Because at that time, like, yeah, because a lot of my friends were into skating at that time. But they messed up, and I really get mad at the bike shop because they didn't get street wheels. They got downhill, like slalom, you know, you would see like Stacy Peralta doing when they're on their hands, everything, bigger wheels. So when I'm like, hey guys, I got a Mike McGill, I got a Paul Peralta. They're like, yeah, nice wheels, poser.
So the thing I remember going from that first board or whatever to an actual, a good quality one is that, you know, those cheap ones were so much heavier. Yeah. You know, I mean, you had those heavy wheels, the heavy wood, everything. And so I think, let's see, when I got rid of that Veriflex, the first one I got was I had a Neil Blender.
Nice.
It was the pink. It was like hot pink with blue slime balls on it. I love that skateboard. And it just seemed so much lighter. Like you were like, felt like you were just going super fast, you know, and all that time, like Dor said, I must have looked like an ostrich with like these giant thigh muscles from trying to learn how to ollie on this stupid thing that weighed like 50 pounds, you know? And then when you actually got, you know, a decent board, it made everything so much easier.
Oh yeah. Complete night and day. And I'll say the one thing I really do remember about this board, like you said, was the weight. I mean, quite literally to do anything on this thing, it took honest to goodness unbelievable amounts of effort. Where my board after that, I want to say, was a Vision board. And I remember the trucks I had off the Executioner weighed more than my complete other board.
Yeah.
It was literal night and day. Yeah. And I remember I had the default bearings, and then like a couple months later I upgraded the bearings, and I was like, this is how it's supposed to be. This is unbelievably different. And it was actually fun.
So I have to tell you what I did with my Veriflex, my first board. I lived in the corner of the neighborhood. So there's a street light there. So I would go out at night and like practice, you know, like trying to do ollies or hand plants, you know, or whatever, out under the street light, you know. And once I got that other board, I had these old tennis shoes and I got this stupid idea. And I actually they were high tops and I nailed them to the skateboard. And so I took the laces out, but because they were high tops, you could kind of put your feet in, you know. And then I would go out there and I don't know if anybody ever saw me, but in my head, you guys just talked about this on the podcast about The Last Starfighter, you know, where Alex is going for the record and then everybody, you know, comes out and they look at him. So in my mind, all these people are peeking out their windows and you can only do one trick, which is jump straight up in the air. And the board just somehow magically stayed on my feet, you know. And it was a really good until you fell over. and then you had to like pull your feet out of these shoes or whatever. But
everyone's looking out their window going, awesome. What's that O'Hara kid doing now?
Right. He's going for the Ollie exactly. record, you know.
He just went over a whole garbage can.
But yeah, you're so right. I mean, and everybody I think that got, you know, eventually that did invest in a better skateboard or whatever started off on something like these. And you know, just tore the crap out of them. I mean, I, you know, run into curbs and you know, everything.
Yeah. I honestly believe I'm not clear, but I believe when I got my new skateboard, I didn't have a choice. I literally like curbed my skateboard, my executioner. I was so upset at it because I left it out one night and it literally got waterlogged where it was even heavier. And I swear I draped it over the curb so the front wheels were in the grass so it wouldn't move. And I jumped with both feet on it and broke it in half because I was so upset at it.
I think I just threw mine out. I was like, I don't need this anymore.
Yeah,
I got a Mike McGill with big wheels.
Hey,
I swear we could do a whole episode probably on skating. We should do one sometime.
Yeah, but don't hate on the big wheels. They had a purpose, okay?
Yeah, but not street skating.
Well, no, but at least around my neighborhood there was a couple really big hills, and I used to literally have this one sideboard I got later just so I could go down the hill as fast as I possibly could and just see how far I could slide sideways on it.
Well, a couple of years ago, my kid decided he wanted a skateboard, and that moment when your kid is interested in something you were interested in, you're like, hell yeah, we're going to the skate shop. And we went, and he wanted a Tony Hawk skateboard because that's the only person he'd ever heard of. So we got him, I think Dor said the prices have not significantly gone up. I mean, when I was in the mid to late 80s, I paid about $100 for a complete. Everything, and that's basically what it is now. And so anyway, I got so caught up in the moment that I bought myself a skateboard.
Nice.
At the same time, I bought a new a Caballero, and I got, you know, like everything that I wanted as a kid. Like I was like, I want the best wheels, I want the best, you know, these tracker trucks, you know, all this stuff that I could never get as a kid. And I've probably ridden it about 3 minutes. I mean, now it's like, you know, the things that you didn't think about as a kid. Like now I'm like, I'm going to be 40 at the end of the summer. I don't want to go to the emergency room and try to explain to somebody that I broke my elbow, you know, trying to.
What, you got a blind skateboard?
What's Dor got there?
This is a Tony Hawk skateboard.
Oh, Birdhouse. All right.
Yeah, I got this maybe 10 years ago, 11 years ago. And that's when I realized. Skateboarding is not like riding a bike.
Absolutely.
It is nothing like riding a bike. Well, first off, I'll say I was very annoyed that they did not have any wide skateboards. Apparently, that's fallen out of style. Now every skateboard is friggin' narrow. And, rode this for one day. I said, can't quite take a fall like I used to. Let me hang this up.
Yeah, I would try the most ridiculous things on a skateboard. Like, you would look like, I bet I could jump off this pickup or something, you know, just completely stupid. And, you know, we would just do it. And now I'm literally afraid to fall off it, you know, 3 inches yeah. up. I mean, I don't.
Oh, yeah. We yeah. went off of the side of buildings, literally like 12, 14 feet up. No hesitation, no pause. We went down Baltimore City streets, every bit of 20 miles an hour down hills, around curves with traffic. No, reckless abandon. Pads? Who heard of pads? Nobody. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I remember a concrete gully going, I literally started at the top, went down the gully, started to come back down, crashed, fell face first. My shoulder went backwards, separated my shoulder. I remember standing up, taking like 3 steps, my shoulder sliding down and then popping back into socket, and then just immediately barfing from the pain.
Oh yeah. I mean, we did, I remember one time, we had gone skateboarding and it was like right, well, it was during the winter, you know, so it was cold, and I saw this patch of ice. And for some reason I thought if I hit this patch of ice, I would be able to turn sideways and then slide across it somehow magically. And then at the other side, I would turn mm-hmm. back and be going straight again. And of course, the minute I hit this ice, I don't even remember how I landed. I mean, it was on my head, obviously. Yeah, dumb idea to try to skateboard on ice. I don't, you know, but now, yeah, I mean, just literally, I don't want to fall in the garage. Like, I stand on it and I'm like, well, this is skateboarding. That's it. And then I get off it.
Right. I'll admit to maybe the dumbest thing I did on a skateboard. Around my street, Somerset Drive, behind me apartments, behind that Crane Highway, okay? I would go down to the end of Somerset, up Alcohart, wait at the red light, go behind a car, scrunch down, hold onto the bumper, and go down Crane Highway at 45 miles an hour, letting the car drag me down the street. That was stupid. Stupid as all get out. And I know I did it at least half a dozen times.
Yeah, well, we were younger then. And now things, like you said, you know, the prices haven't really changed that much. But what changes is it hurts a lot more mm-hmm. to fall now, you yep. know, and we have responsibilities. That's right. Why I kind of slowed down when I started
yeah, trying to back up. It's not the skateboards that got more expensive. It's the insurance
yeah, deductible. Yeah, exactly true.
Yeah. So that's a good one though, Dor. We'll have to do a skateboard. I know we could probably sit here and go on and on about skating.
Well, yeah, there's some good skateboarding yes. movies too.
Yes, but I will into. Just the last thing I'll throw out. Worst skateboarding movie ever, Skatetopia. I'm not gonna say anymore.
Yeah, I started the other day. I couldn't watch it, but we do have to move on here. We can get it in our skateboarding episode. So Rob, what do you got?
All right. Well, this one, I didn't have, that much information on, and this is a toy that I did not own. My neighbors owned, actually the neighbor across the street and the neighbor next door to me both owned one of these, but I never had one. And, this is the SSG Supersonic Glider. Mm. Now, I don't know. I'm going to send you guys a picture here in case you're not familiar with it, but this was definitely, where I remember seeing these yeah. initially was on, like the info, not an infomercial, but you know, it was, you know, the almost like the monster truck voice, like Sunday, you know, it was the, you know, the supersonic glider, you know, and it is basically a styrofoam airplane that has a wingspan of about 4 feet. It goes in 4 pieces. There's the main body, the 2 wings, and then the tail section. And so it also came with a sheet of stickers. I looked on, there are some on eBay right now, and it came with like USA type stickers, stuff like that. But I mean, my biggest memory of this is other than it was huge, you know, I mean, when you're yeah. a kid, something that's 4 feet across, you know, is as tall as you are, basically. And I remember on the television commercials, they would throw it and it would either it would go like forever, you know, they would show that on the commercial, like there'd be a guy and then you know, the other kids at the other end of the block or something, and they throw it and it goes for a mile. Or you could adjust, kind of like what you do on a paper airplane, you could adjust the, you know, the airfoils a little bit or whatever and get it to do like right. a loop or a left turn or a right turn. That's the commercial. What I remember in reality is my neighbors would throw it, it would hit the ground and just explode. Yeah, the wings would go everywhere and you could throw it. I don't know. It doesn't seem like that many times before something broke on it, you know, because you're just basically throwing a piece of styrofoam at concrete over and over. So eventually a wing
or the tail piece would just like fall out, wouldn't even stay in anymore.
Right, exactly. All the kids in my neighborhood that had them, they always had duct tape, you know, trying to hold the wings together or whatever. But I don't remember how much these were. They must have been. They couldn't have been that expensive. I mean, it's a styrofoam airplane. Yeah.
Well, I put a link in the chat to a commercial where they say $9.99. I'll say, I remember them. I remember not having one. And I do remember seeing them literally explode into pieces in across the street in one house over. The guy had one. And I remember he actually almost got good at it, where he could make it do flips and stuff.
Yeah, I never, like I said, the guys across the street, they had one, and then the neighbors next door had one. And but that's really my memory of it, is just, you know, seeing the commercials. And it's just like, I'll tell you what it's like, what it reminds me of is at the mall, they have the kiosk of the guys that are selling the little remote control helicopters. And I have watched them fly these things up. They come down. They're very good at landing them, controlling them. I got my kid one, and all it does is take off and smash into the wall. And it does it over and over and over, you know. So they do definitely make these things look a lot easier on the commercials. But I never saw one fly all that well in real life. Yeah.
And I'll say, whoever designed this back in the day, what was in my mind genius, because it was styrofoam. It was like built to not last. Like every week you would have to buy a brand new one if you really liked it.
Yeah, we I think we had one of these, but we always would get the what is that, like the balsa wood ones that you could buy. Yeah. You know, the little tiny ones, and you.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, those are a lot smaller. Yeah, but yeah.
And you would slip the little like little metal tip on the nose, so when it came smacking down, it wouldn't shatter everything. But I think we definitely had one of these, and I've seen these around a lot too, and been like, oh wow. But I'm like, the dogs are gonna eat that. But they were fun.
Yeah, like I said, that moment of impact where everything would just pop back off that, you know. And I do remember, like I said, I think I mentioned it came with a sheet of stickers. And you know, it's kind of like those the guys that get their first car and they go to AutoZone and they buy every single thing that you could stick on a car. You know, like they put the pinstripes and they put the flames and they put the fake cell phone antenna and they put the steering wheel cover, like everything that you could, every accessory, you know. And so I remember the planes always eventually ended up looking like that. Like they would have flames and they would have stickers and American flags, and the whole thing would, you know, would just be like this big graffiti styrofoam plane.
Yeah. I remember the guy taking a permanent marker to his and just like drawing all kinds of stuff all over it.
Yeah, it's probably what I would have done more so if I had more of them, is probably just color them all. I was never into doing the stickers. It took too long.
But that's definitely a toy that I remember that I did not have.
Well, that's cool. We got one of them in then.
Yeah, I can't lie. Anymore, I forgot even this thing even existed. I'm not going to lie.
You know, that's why I'm saying that, like, this, we definitely, I think down the road could do another one of these episodes. We, each three of us, you know, we were all like, oh, we're thinking so hard, but these things just pop in your head, man. And I know we could do another episode down the road, maybe in a couple months, we'll do take two or something.
Sure.
Excuse me. I actually, my last one is going to be one that I had, but it sucked. And I have a feeling I can maybe get some, no pun intended, but I could get some flack for this one, maybe from listeners or something. I don't know. But anybody who says that this thing was awesome is lying. And it was the Snoopy snow cone machine.
Oh, yeah.
It looks great. It sounds great. You think it's going to taste great. But it was such,
I remember it was just a
pain in the ass, man. You know, and they still sell them today. I was looking online today. I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought, you know, that you would just find them on eBay. No, they, Toys R Us said they still have them.
So how does it work? I remember seeing these as a kid, but I never had one.
It was basically like you have like this little, looks like a doghouse, like Snoopy's doghouse. And then there's like a little, like stainless steel wheel inside that's got like a cheese grater kind of type of thing. And you, and then on the, I think it was like the chimney or what would be the chimney, you would drop your ice cubes in there. And then you have like a Snoopy, like ramrod that you would push him down to hold the cube on, and then you would crank on the backside. You would crank this thing as you're pushing down, and that barrel type thing
would make a quote unquote snake.
Would shave it, and then you would have a little shovel that you would scoop out the shavings, and then you put it in your little like Dixie cup or whatever you have, and then you have like a little snowman with like this rubbery plastic top that corrodes after a while. And you put, and then you're supposed to squirt the flavor on it. It seemed awesome, but it really was. It was a bust.
I would say the best thing, and my sister had one of these. I would say the best thing about this toy by far was the jingle. I don't know if you remember the commercial.
I don't.
Put the ice cubes in and get a snow cone out. Yeah. Yum yum fun is what it's all about. And I mean, it's got these kids eating, and you know, the if you think about the amount of ice you would have to put into this thing to get an 8 ounce or 12 ounce snow cone, you know, you really don't realize the amount of work that's going to go into this thing until you start you know, cranking that little dude.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. And I actually found a video where, or it was a blog that someone had bought one, and it was like, how many people does it take to make a really, really small snow cone? And it was like, it was like six people, like six different people were taking turns cranking on this, cranking on this thing. And like I said, the rubber like boot that was supposed to be like the hat, the winter, like the knit hat that would go on this little snowman that would hold whatever flavor of juice that you'd put in there, it got real funky. Like I don't know, maybe my mother put it in the dishwasher, and back then it wasn't made to be, I don't know, but it just seemed to be a lot of work. And I remember, you know, you'd have to, I think it might have came with a packet or two, but then you'd have to make Kool-Aid or whatever to put with it. And I even wrote a blog post about it on the Retroist, where I went to like the local, you know, corner store that would have like penny candies and stuff like that, and I would buy Kool-Aid packets, but I didn't know that you had to add sugar. I just thought, you know, so I thought you just would add water. So it was like,
so you made like sour cones.
Yeah. So after, you know, 25 minutes to make one little tiny snow cone, then you squeeze on, you know, grape Kool-Aid without sugar. It's pretty discouraging to like a 8-year-old kid.
You know, but there is something to be said, as terrible as this was in reality, there is something to be said about toys, any toys, there are several, that allow you to make something that is actually edible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I know that we joked about the Easy Bake Oven. My sister had an entire kitchen in her bedroom, you know. I mean, she could make snow cones and Easy Bake Ovens, and my kids got, I don't know what the brand is, but it's like a mad scientist type thing, and you make edible, like, little bugs and stuff like that. They almost come out like gummy.
Yeah, I know you're talking. Consistency, yeah.
Right, but you know, I don't know. I wouldn't mind having like a real snow cone making machine. I just don't have the patience to wait for this. Like, you know, if you think, well, I mean, now a snow cone, you know, there's a snow cone stand right around the corner from our house, and I think a medium is like 82 ounces or something. I don't know. And they're like gigantic, and then they put the giant cone on there, you know. So, and it's probably a mile from here, and I'm sure I could walk there and back faster than you can make one that size with the Snoopy Still
How much
machine.
Does it cost?
Oh, yeah, it's like $2 or $3, you know, it's nothing. Yeah, so.
So it,
now, what's a, is a snow, well, you said they still make Snoopy Snow Cone machines now. Do you know what they go for now?
I can't remember. I want to say it was, I want to say it was like $15. It wasn't much, but it was either 15 or 25, one of the two. I can't remember. I was actually shocked that they still made them. You know, they looked pretty much $15,
yeah.
And this is from 1979. It said they started producing them.
So, well, I'll say I'm all for a toy that makes a kid work, but the amount of work does seem kind of disproportionate.
This was one of those things, and I know my kids have these, and I feel guilty about it. This is one of the things where, as a kid, I'd say, you know, after we used it one time, Mom, can we use the Snoopy Snow Cone Maker? No, maybe later. Because it was, you know, she didn't want to sit there and crank on an ice cube. It's like, just have an ice cube with some Kool-Aid. The idea was good, but I don't know. I thought it was a little too much work.
I got from my a birthday gift a couple of years ago from my grandma. I got a gift card to Kohl's, and she told me that it's something about I should go buy some nice shirts. And it turns out there's nothing at Kohl's that fits me. I think they stop at like 1X or 2X. That's it. So now I'm wandering around Kohl's looking for something to spend this gift card on. And there is, like, I don't want to say professional, but bigger than the Snoopy snow cone machine, a snow cone maker. And it's big. I mean, it's got like Cuisinart blades in there and stuff, you know? I mean, this thing's pretty awesome. So it definitely cost, I mean, I think it's like $50. So it's definitely more than the Snoopy snow cone. But yeah, I feel like I moved up. You know what I mean? Like I upgraded from the Snoopy one. Yeah, it's still not, I don't know. There's something about the way they do it at the actual snow cone hut or whatever that place is down there that's better than what you seem to get from any of the home ones.
Yeah. I love snow cones, but I hate brain freeze.
Yeah, well.
Always got brain freeze. That's
the... You know, the other thing I did was I went down to a place that sells snow cone, like, supplies. Because now I'm a snow cone owner, right? So they had flavors, and I'm so gullible to the upsell. Like I'm like, I need to get like a 20 ounces of flavor. And then they go, you know, it's a lot better if you buy 1 gallon. Because, right. But then, you know, they're like, you know, if you buy 2 gallons, you get one free and three. And so I come home later with eight. This is true. I have 8 gallons of snow cone flavor in my kitchen of like tiger's blood. And I got 2 or 3 that I don't even like, but it was like they were throwing them in, you know. So, and the thing is, I can't get anybody in this house to make a snow cone. So if you buy the Death Star, not only you get the Death Star, I throw in a year's supply of blue coconut flavor. And the secret of ventriloquism. So, I mean, it's a package deal.
And we'll put I'll put a link to that that sale in the notes.
It's all on eBay. Everything must go.
That's funny. Well, this was a fun episode. I definitely want to do something like this again down the road. I have some more that popped in my head. I actually had a couple more, not knowing how this would go, but I had to throw in that Snoopy snow cone maker. It was just so disappointing to me as a kid. And I can't remember. I don't know if it was a birthday. It had to be a birthday present. That's not really a good Christmas present.
Yeah, you know, my daughter, her birthday is coming up this week. And so we're doing that last minute shopping, you know, where we go around. And so I will definitely mark that off the list. If I see that at Toys R Us or whatever, we will not get the... That I think she's too big for a sit and spin too. That was that would be a good go to one.
Sit and spin, yeah. yeah. So I don't know. You guys got anything else on any of these things that you might have thought up or?
Just good, very good stuff, man.
Yeah, I don't know why you were worried about that sit and spin door.
Well, the name. I mean, come on.
Well, but like I told you before, you know, we even recorded, you know, we are kids. We can't rag on each other for stuff as being kids.
Oh, Sean. any chance you have, you will rag on me. And that's okay, because it's right back at you, baby.
Yes. And anybody that listens to our other podcast, Android App Addicts, knows that that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just thinking that might be two genres of toys that you wouldn't want to mix. Toys that make food and then toys that spin you around violently. Yeah. Those are two things you might have.
Blue coconut all over the walls.
Yeah, there goes the Snoopy snow cone.
That's funny. Well, normally I like to announce what the next episode is going to be, but I'm going to be honest, I don't know yet. The guys and I have to figure that out, but like I had stated in a update the other week, you know, we're going to be doing biweekly shows anyway, so we have a little bit of time. And if we come up with something the next day or so, I'll put it in the show notes, but I'm not sure if we're going to do a movie or another topic, but...
Whenever you get that, you announce it on Twitter.
Right? I'll put it on Twitter. You can follow us on at Throwback Review on Twitter, or you can go to throwbackreviews.com. There's a link to the Twitter there. You can also hear us on Stitcher. We're streaming on Stitcher now. You could, if you want, you could leave us a review on iTunes if you'd like. That'd be cool. We'd appreciate that. What else we have here that I wanted to, I want to say thanks to Pixelate for letting me use some of his music for the intro and closing music. If you want to listen to any more of his music, you can find it at soundcloud.com/retropeachy. He's got a lot of really cool stuff up there. And so why don't we go around? We'll start with Dor. Anything, any last comments, anything you want to say, any links, any plugs you want to give?
Honestly, I'll just say, if the people do not mind, please go to iTunes and leave us a review. Spreading the word about the cast is great, but reviews help just as much.
Yeah, and where can people find your other stuff, Tor?
Just go to podness.com. You'll get more than you ever asked for.
All right, and how about you, Rob? Any last words?
I have found a Charlie McCarthy with no bids on eBay for $9.99, and it says it has both shoes.
There you go.
So I've got to find out what shipping is, but by the next show, maybe we'll have Charlie McCarthy on with us. It'd be like a fourth spot for us. No, I had a blast on this episode. I like hearing about other people's toys, like what you said. Like, I never would have thought of the sit and spin and some of those things, you know, and I think we had all these things, you know, and so I just enjoyed talking about them. And unfortunately, sometimes I enjoy going on eBay and buying them again too. I think I'm going to have to go grow my Fisher Price Adventure people set a little bit more. I'm going to go see if I can find that Safari set for next time.
Well, good luck, man. I have one that has a little graffiti on it. I could sell you cheap, maybe, if you can't find it.
No, it's got your brother's initials on it and red nail polish.
Yeah, right. And you know what? Check out Rob's other podcasts. You Don't Know Flack. There's a link. You can get to that from RobOHara.com, correct?
Yep. Just go to RobOHara.com. You can look for podcasts. That's pretty much the main thing I'm doing right now. You can also find little retro updates each day over at The Retroist.
Yeah, you've got a lot of good posts. You have a lot of posts on there lately.
Yeah, I'm trying to do one a day right now, but it gets hard sometimes to keep up, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I haven't sent one in a couple weeks. I get busy, so. But yeah, a lot of good stuff from these guys. You got to check it out. RobOHara.com. Door-to-door geek. You still have door-to-door geek.com, or are you just doing Podnuts?
I still owed it, but there's nothing there because I don't have time.
Yeah. And Rob, what about your books? You still have your books for sale, or?
I do still have my books for sale. They're on RobOHara.com as well. Commodore, which is the my story about growing up playing with Commodore computers and BBSs and all that kind of stuff. And the other one's Invading Spaces, which is a beginner's guide to collecting arcade games. Talks about all the arcade games I've owned and just the basics of, you know, buying and selling stuff. And those are both You could get them in paperback on the website, or you could get them in DRM-free PDFs.
Yeah, I haven't Invading Spaces. I haven't finished. I hardly get time to read, but when I do, I have it on a tablet. It's I like it, man. It's really interesting. Really good.
Yeah, the PDFs are $2.99, which is basically that's the minimum that you can charge on Amazon. So I just made it the same price across the board. So, you know, I figure if they got to be worth $3, you know. all donations go to the toy fund for the next episode.
Towards the safari.
Charlie McCarthy first, and then the safari second.
And Dor, one last thing. Dor, you still have the Linux for the Rest of Us, the videos?
Yeah.
At
Linux for therestofus.com. Try to hold people's hands through the initial humps of learning Linux. Because the dirty secret is, it's not hard at all. It's just different.
Yeah, check those out. Dor is known as the Linux guru. He is the man of that knows all the Linux stuff. So check all that stuff out. For me, I don't have anything. Go to throwbackreviews.com. Check the host link. You'll see me there. You won't see these two knuckleheads because they won't send me anything.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. And so that you find all the links for any of my stuff, my Twitter, my Google+. But I think that's about it. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Star Wars Death Star Space Station. Action figures each sold separately.